I would like to introduce to you Dr. John Walton and ask that you join me in welcoming him tonight.
Thanks, Doug. Oh, thanks. Thanks. You know, it's just great to be here, and I've just had a great 24 hours already being on your campus and walking around, enjoying the river, enjoying the layout of the campus and the students. Been in a couple classes today, and it's just a great campus, and it's a great pleasure for me to be here. I've been really looking forward to talking to you about Genesis 1, and so we're going to launch right into it and try to understand how we can come at Genesis 1 and understand it, hopefully the way that the biblical author wants us to understand it. And here, of course, I'm talking not only of the human author, but of the divine author, and I like to think that those are going to coincide. And so we're going to get into that discussion and try to think in fresh ways about Genesis chapter 1 as we try to read it with ancient eyes. Now, my eyes are pretty ancient, you know, because I already need bifocals. But I don't mean that, of course, but trying to understand it as an ancient reader would have understood it. So as we begin, we have to see the world the way the text sees the world. Now, the world hasn't changed a whole lot, but the way we think about the world has undergone dramatic changes, of course. But when we think about the Old Testament, we have to understand that even though it is written for us as God's revelation to all people everywhere, of all times, of all cultures, of all geographical places, God reveals himself for everyone. But he revealed himself to the Israelites. And the Old Testament is not written to us. It's written to them. It's written in their language. And in their language, it's also written to their culture. And it assumes their worldview because it's communicating. You know, communication is dependent on that which is familiar between the speaker and the audience. Communication is built on familiarity of language, of ideas, concepts, logic, the flow of a presentation. All of that's part of effective communication. And God is an effective communicator. And that means that he communicated to Israel in ways that they would understand. And so in that sense, we can recognize that the text is written to them. And that means that it is not written to us, and we're not in the same circle of discourse. We have to enter that. Just like you have to have someone translate the Hebrew text for you. I'm assuming that's true, most of you. Don't raise your hands, but I'm assuming that's true. We also need to try to have the culture translated to us. And we have to read it in their culture, not ours. So we have to see the world the way the text sees the world, because that text was written into that world and assumed it. We also have to see the text the way the ancient Israelites saw the text. We have to hear that communication. And again, it's not just a matter of language, it's a matter of culture. And so that's also something that we have to try to enter into their way of thinking, to see the text the way they saw the text. We're not really at liberty to read a lot of extra scientific baggage from our world into their text, because we can't do that without changing what it is. If we start attributing meanings to words, scientific meanings to words in the biblical text, meanings that they did not understand and did not have, then we're being a rather imperialistic reader. We're reading it with meanings that aren't there. And our convictions about biblical authority should be a little bit disturbed with that kind of approach. Because if we're replacing in the text what we want it to say, what means something to our world, that means that it didn't, you know, the words didn't mean what they were supposed to mean to the Israelites. So we have to look at the text in that way. So we're going to start out with a basic question to get us into it all as we think about Genesis 1 in new ways. This is one starting place. There are other starting places we could pick, but I decided to start with this one tonight. So, verse 5, day 1, God called the light day. So the question, why didn't God call the light light? It seems like if that's what it is, after all, they used the word light, so why doesn't it say, and God called the light light? And that's because the text is not talking about an object like what we call light. They wouldn't have thought of light as an object. They don't have the particle wave kinds of theories. Okay, they don't think of light as a thing to be created. God said, let there be light. But the fact that he calls it day means that there's something else going on here, because day is not the same thing as light. Day is a period of light, and that's what's named day. So God called a period of light day, and a period of darkness he called night. Now that works very well for verse 5. We need to look the next verse up, verse 4, where it says that God separated the light from the darkness. Now again, we can't really be talking physics there. You can't separate light from darkness. They're not together, and they can't be separated. They don't need to be distinguished. They're distinguished by definition. And so that would sound almost like it's a nonsensical statement. But of course, it's not nonsensical at all when you understand that God is separating a period of light from a period of darkness. So God separated the period of light from the period of darkness, and the period of light he called day, and the period of darkness he called night. Works fine. It's when we take it the next step that suddenly a whole new way of thinking opens up to us. God said, let there be light, verse 3. Now, if it means period of light in verse 4 and it means period of light in verse 5, to be consistent, we probably ought to understand that it means period of light in verse 3. In which case, we are now reading the text, God said, let there be a period of light. Remember, there had been darkness, verse 2. Okay, I'm not going to go backwards through the text all night. But verse 2, there was darkness. Then God said, let there be a period of light. And so God distinguished period of light and period of darkness. And the period of light he called day, and the period of darkness he called night. And so there was evening, transition from the period of light to the period of darkness. And there was morning, transition from the period of darkness to the period of light, day 1.